This year, I decided to talk to you with a message called Walking in the Way of the Lord in 2015. I must admit that this year is probably one of the more progressive years in my life, and I'm pushing it. I keep thinking I'm a few more years away from senior citizenship. And when I think about that, I look at this year and realize that this is, and I say this not to brag or to boast, but just to give you a testimony. It's probably one of the best years of my life. It seems like that when you walk in step with God, every year gets better and better and better. And I want to challenge you, admonish you, exhort you, pray for you, believe that this will be the year that you will walk in step with the Lord in 2015. I'm using a text that was used here on the 24th of December, our Christmas Eve service. And I felt like while Pastor Paulo was preaching, I was seated back there, I thought I needed to preach that at length because he was given a limited 20 minutes because of the children in the room. I decided to preach again out of the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. The text that says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way." And it describes, the rest of that is a description of how Jesus Christ was born. I want to draw your attention to the words, this was the way Jesus was born. This is, by all intents and purposes, the most significant event in the history of mankind, the coming of no less than the Savior of the world, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this is the way it happened. And in understanding the pattern by which God allows the greatest event in history to take place in a certain way, we can learn how we can walk in step with Him. Now, the verse describes that when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with the child from the Holy Spirit. Now, you've heard the illustration, you've heard the story of what would it look like if your daughter came home to you and said, "Pop, I'm pregnant, and I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit." How many of you know that's a little weird? And what sort of reaction will that cause you to have is really not my point this afternoon. My point today is really to understand that when this happened, when Mary was betrothed, he was about to get married. Technically speaking, that word betrothed means technically they're married. The only thing they haven't done is they haven't consummated and had intimacy with each other. But other than that, they are legally married already. In other words, this is a done deal. And before they came together, she was found to be with a child. And that's the thing I want to draw your attention to, is that before they actually had intimacy, she had a baby, which is, when you think about the magnitude of how unideal that is, that's the way of the Lord. Sometimes when we think of the way of the Lord, we think it's ideal, the best of circumstances, noble, beautiful, lovely. And yet here we find that the way Jesus came to earth was not the most ideal, not the easiest, not the prettiest, not the nicest, not the most convenient, actually rather very convenient. And I want to talk to you about that. That as you enter 2015, if you want to walk in step with the Lord, it probably will not look like the way you want it to look like. You hear? Some of you didn't like that statement. The truth of the matter is, we all want things to work the way we want it to work. Unfortunately, that's not the way God moves. That's not the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is usually unpredictable. When I look at my own year, 2014, last year, I think about the number of things that have happened that, in hindsight, are the right things that have happened, but I didn't plan it that way. When I look at my personal life, my marriage, a lot of the things that I do, I was expecting them in certain ways, but God had other ways. But because I've learned to walk in the ways of God and in step with God, I've learned to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me. And as a result, I've gotten the kind of results I needed, not because I've planned them or assumed them or expected them, but because I've allowed God to do His way, and I've allowed myself to walk in that way. And that's what I want to talk to you about this afternoon. When I think about the biggest project I've been involved in last year, the last 2 years is the building that we're building right now. When that building began, we dug the hole, I felt like we were actually digging a hole to bury ourselves. And I was thinking of computing about the amount of money that we didn't have in order to finish that building. And yet here we are. We are about 80% complete. Still no debt. Still no day's delay. As the year was about to close, when we were about to close down this office, I stood at the grounds there. And I was looking at that. I saw the air conditioners being delivered in our parking lot. And I was just thanking God, praying to God, and saying, God, thank you so much for allowing this thing to happen. But when you think about the inconvenience, the day we dug the hole, we lost our parking lot. And as a staff, we were talking about the fact that once we dig that hole, we will most likely lose about 800 people coming to church. How many of you know when you don't have a parking lot, people don't come to church? The good news was when we dug the hole, our church after 2 months grew by 1,800. See, God has ways that are not your ways. Your initial thoughts that this is what's going to happen, God can actually change it. Then the inconvenience of parking in a satellite and having people shuttle you and shuffle you back and forth. I used to wonder, can I last 2 years riding this shuttling thing? And you know what? In the course of that time, it was actually a blessing. I actually met more of you in the shuttle bus than I did inside of here. See, God has ways that are unexpected, but sometimes we preset our ways and think, this is the way I want it to happen. God, this is the way it should happen. One of the things we did with, as far as the building is concerned, and please forgive me if I'm not making a push for the building or anything of that sort, I'm just recounting to you one of the things we did. One of the things we did was we said, we're not going to make a push for the building in the services. We said we don't want to distract the preaching of the word, and we didn't want to distract the worship of God. And some people were questioning the sanity of that, that if you don't present the need to the church, you might not make the fundraising. Instead, we said we're going to present and say, invite people to banquets. And over the last 2 years, we've actually had 300 banquets. And to this day, God has upheld us. When we do things God's way, we get God's results. That's my point. And I pray for you this year is that you would trust God's way. Now, how does that look like? Here's what happened. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, this is the ESV version. The NIV version uses the word, he was a righteous man. And I pray for you that this year, this is the year that you will have a greater sense of a consciousness of righteousness. It is, and I'll say this as softly as I can so you don't feel condemned, it is nearly impossible to achieve God's way if you walk in unrighteousness. Nearly impossible. And you can justify, you can theologize, you can say it whichever way. If you do not walk in the righteousness of God or do not have a consciousness of what's right and wrong, it is nearly impossible to see God's way. Joseph was about to make a wrong decision here of divorcing his wife. But despite the fact that he was about to make the wrong decision, the Bible tells us that God sends an angel to direct his way so that he will fulfill his destiny. And the reason why is caught in this verse right here. He was a righteous man. He was a just man. And my prayer for you, if you want to capture the essence of God's way for your life, is find a consciousness for righteousness, which is why you need to read your Bible as often as you can and pray that Bible. The more conscious you are about what's right and wrong, the more you see it and you can tell clearly that's not the way to go, the more you're going to see God's way before you. The more you insist on unrighteousness and not being conscious of what's righteous or unrighteous, the more you're not going to achieve God's way for your life this year or the year to come. Secondly, the Bible tells us that he was unwilling. He was unwilling to put her to shame. What that means is, under the law, if you're caught in adultery or if you're caught with this infraction of not having your legally betrothed and yet you're pregnant with another man's child, she could be stoned to death. And yet he was unwilling to do that. He was unwilling to put her to shame. In other words, it's not just that we should be conscious of righteousness. It's very possible that you're conscious of righteousness, but you're not doing it in a way that's loving. And my prayer is that you can know the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is the way of righteousness and the way of love. That's why the Bible says the greatest commands are these. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. This is really the way of God. And Joseph knew this. He was a righteous man. And he was unwilling to put his wife to shame. Now, thirdly, it says, he resolved to divorce her quietly. In other words, he resolved that I'm going to do the right thing. I can't marry her because if I marry her, then I will be unrighteous because she's unrighteous. At least that's what he thought. I can't stone her because that's an unloving thing to do, but I can divorce her quietly and walk away. As betrayed as the man must have felt, as painful as he must have felt, he decided this is the way of God and I'm going to walk in this way. I want to talk to you about the options that were left with Joseph. He had three. His first option was obviously to marry her. The second option was to stone her. And the third option was to divorce her. And pretty much when we enter 2015 next year, you and I have the same options. Marrying her would be the option of the unrighteous, doing the unrighteous thing. And I'm praying and believing and admonish you, encouraging you, if you want to see the results of God for the coming year, you don't want to walk in unrighteousness. You want to walk in the righteousness of God. Secondly, he could have stoned her. And that is the way, that's an unloving way. He could have chosen that. And we can choose to do it that way. Or we could choose and say, God, I'm going to do what's loving. I'm going to do what's right. And I'm going to do it in a loving way. And finally, divorce her. Which was really, at the end of the day, the only option left. And I want to encourage you. God has other options. Are you here? Sometimes, some of you, you're already preset. When I get into the year, it's my boss, it's my job, it's my money, it's this. You've already set your options, which is why the year is not going to be what it's supposed to be, because you've already dictated and boxed yourself about the options. And here we find the greatest story in Christmas has an option that no one ever thought was even possible. That's my encouragement for you as you enter 2015. There are other options when you walk in the way of God. I was telling you about the building. And it's interesting how that building, I could write a book about it. Because that building is a bigger project than this building. But in many ways, it was an easier project than this. I guess it's because we've become older believers. And we've learned to trust God more. Before, I used to worry, and when I realized, okay, there's 2 months left and we're going to run out of money, there were near moments when there were about 3 weeks left and we're going to run out of money. And instead of worrying, in the past, we would worry a lot. Well, we would pray, amen? We would still pray, but how many of you, you know, you pray with worry? But this one, it was different. It was just trusting in God. In fact, one of the focal moments in this building was the beginning point. We were trying to find the right contractors. And so we decided that every project we did, we were going to do it professionally. And we were just going to default to a contractor in church or somebody who wanted to give it for free or discount. We said, we're going to do it professionally. We've got different members who are contractors. And so everybody had to bid. And if the guy who won was not from church, then we're going to have him construct the building. And so we opened it to contractors, and we had 10 people came with, we invited them, and there were 10 of them that came. Out of the 10, 5 backed out eventually. So we were left with 5. The reason why the 5 backed out was because the project was too small compared to the other projects in the area. During the bidding process, after the bids, 4 of the other 5 backed out also. How many of you know now you don't have any more options? You know what was interesting? We were left with one option. And that option was the one contractor whom we didn't know who he was, didn't know his name. And ended up to be the cheapest one and turns out to be the guy who's the fastest and the easiest to deal with, because God has ways. He's got options you don't know about. And sometimes you already preset yourself, this is my option, it's the number one guy, I want that guy. If it's not, if it's the number two guy, God says, no, I'm going to remove all 9 of them and I'll keep one. The one you don't like. The one you don't know. but the one that will actually save you money without earning any money, without even asking for a discount. You've actually saved money. Sometimes our default is, our only option is, if I have money, and here God saves us millions without us doing anything. I pray this year you walk in the righteousness of God. I pray that you understand that there are other options other than your big ideas. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. Do not preset him. Worst of all, do not set him up in a box. Now further, Matthew chapter 1 verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This is powerful. He's considering these things. He's weighing his options. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this angel shows up. You walk in the righteousness of God. You walk in the ways of God. You go and trust God with all your heart. When you walk in that place, the armies of heaven will be for you and not against you. God will commission angels to resolve some of your issues. You walk in the arm of the strength, your abilities and your limits and your options. You're on your own. You start walking and trusting God. He says this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I'll talk to you a little bit about dreams. Dreams have many sources. The Bible tells us that dreams come when we worry a lot. The Bible tells us that the devil can give you dreams. But there's a source of dreams that you want, and that is God. God can give you dreams. God can give you great dreams, and they may not happen immediately, but they will happen. There's another man named Joseph in the Bible who had a dream when he was a young boy that God wanted to fulfill many, many years after. And sometimes we forget that the ultimate author of dreams is God. And my prayer that this year that you would go back to those dreams. I had dreams, folks. I have dreams. I have dreams to this day about my grandchildren. In fact, I just saw a part of that dream come to pass. I have dreams. I haven't seen the fullness of that dream. I have a dream where I'm sitting in this big chair and my wife's on my side and I'm wearing white pants and white shoes. I feel like a barber every time I see this dream. And I see my grandchildren sitting on my lap, and I'm speaking to them. I'm speaking destiny and life and the future, that their lives are going to be great. I haven't lost that dream. I have dreams for this church. I have dreams for my children. I have dreams for this nation. I have a dream that one day the Pasig River is actually going to be clean. Now, maybe that's not my generation, but one day it will be, and I'm not letting go of that dream. I have a dream that one day it will have paved roads on its side. It'll have bridges over each other where people can walk across. And I have a dream that people are actually riding bicycles and it's safe in Manila. Nobody's going to have a two-riding motorcycle group of vampires steal from you. And I'm not letting go of that dream. I'm trusting God for my dreams. I'm stepping into 2015 believing for his dreams. I'm trusting God that as I walk in the righteousness of God, as I walk in faith and in step with him, believing him, doing what's right, walking the way of love, taking action and doing it, I'm believing that God will push me closer to that dream. I have a dream that one day Christianity will abound in this nation and hundreds, if not thousands, of missionaries will be raised both in this nation and out of this nation. Those are dreams. My prayer for you is that you don't let go of your dreams for your children, for your grandchildren, for yourself. This is the year, amen? Now, verse 20, the second part of it, saying, Joseph, son of David. I love this part. Here's Joseph. He's down and out. He's lost his girlfriend, his fiance, his wife. He's lost all hope. He's been betrayed. Everything that you could possibly think of has happened. This is generations and generations and generations of losing everything to the point where now he's just a carpenter. And here the angel comes to him and says, Joseph, son of David. That's powerful. I need you in this coming year to step into 2015, not just with the ability to believe God for his dreams, but to step in and believe that you have a destiny in God. Joseph, son of David, is a statement. Joseph, you are a child of a king. That's what it means. This guy is a carpenter who just lost everything, who just got betrayed, and God's walking into his life. This is God's way. God's way is the most impractical, the most illogical, the one that most likely won't happen. And he says, no, I can fulfill your dreams. And more than that, you are a child of a king. Get in that world understanding that. Walk in that 2015 with a quiet confidence to know that God lives and that he has a destiny for you. And that destiny will one day be fulfilled. And thirdly, he said, don't just dream. Don't just understand and realize you have a destiny. Do not fear. Fear is the enemy. Fear is the reason why we don't take action. Fear is the reason why we pause. Fear is the reason why we stop. Fear is the reason why we stop dreaming, because I'm afraid it might never happen. What if I keep believing this and it never happens? Well, keep believing anyway. I keep following everybody on Facebook. You know, how many of you just love Facebook? Don't live in it. Just follow people from time to time when you have the time. Don't make that your career. Okay? Some of you, that's your career, okay? That's not good. And I'm following people, and I saw Bruce Ho and Terry. And Terry was our worship leader here. Now, Terry looks like she's 18 years old, but she's not, okay? She is probably in her, I can't do that, she'll kill me. And people kept wondering, and Bruce was probably 50 years old, and he was our pastor in New York. And both of these people probably thought, I'm never going to get married. I mean, this is not going to happen anymore. And I was looking at their Christmas card, ice skating together. And I thought, God, you are a dream maker. You are a dream fulfiller. You are just the God that if people walk in your ways, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. Just don't let go of the dream. Just realize you're a son of the king and you have a destiny. And thirdly, do not fear. Don't let that get you. Don't be afraid. God did not give you the spirit of timidity and fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That's where God wants you to be. And then thirdly, he says, and lastly, number four, he says, take Mary as your wife. Basically, what he was saying was, you got to take action. Keep the dream and store that dream and never let go. Know that you have a destiny in me. Fight for that dream. Do not fear. But at the same time, the proof that you actually believe this is take action, do it. I once believed that I was going to write a book. But I didn't just want to write a book. I was coming in here. Somebody walked up. I never promoted this book. I can tell you now because this is 2 years ago. I never promoted it in Victory. I never came up here and told you guys that I wrote a book. But I decided to write a book because I had a dream. I had a dream. I had a passionate dream that one day I'm going to write a book in a major U.S. publishing house will publish it. How many of you know, if somebody heard me say that dream, they'd think, you're nuts. And I never let go of that dream. I'm not a writer. I'm a college dropout. Many of you know that. But I kept believing it. And I kept believing it. And I kept writing it. And every year, for 4.5 years, I kept writing it and editing it. And I had stacks of paper that high because of all the mistakes and everything I had to throw, rewrite and rewrite, write and rewrite. And I have a day job. I had to get up at 4 a.m. to write. But I never let go of the dream. Never let go of the dream once. Believe that God had destined me. And don't worry about what people will say, yabang mo naman, you have all these. No. Just believe and say, God, I'm believing for this destiny for me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to influence people. I'm going to influence other pastors. I'm going to touch the world for your glory and for your praise. I believe it. Don't be afraid. Keep doing it. And lastly, take action. Grab a hold of it. actually go in there and write that thing, actually go in there and type that thing, actually, and finally met the guy. I met the guy who was going to be the publisher. I met him in Korea. It's a story to tell because I was giving him a pitch of my book. I said, I wrote a book. As I was getting up, he said this, what's the title of your book? I said, The Lego Principle. He said, my kids grew up on Lego. What's it about? And then I gave my elevator pitch. Different shapes, different size, different colors from different boxes, designed to do one thing, connect to the top and connect to the bottom. And if you can do that, you can connect to God and connect to others, you can change the world and shape it all over again. And I've memorized that because of 5 years of thinking about this dream. And here's what he said. Here's what he said. I want to see the manuscript. I never went through an agent. I never went through an editor. I went straight to the owner of the company. Why? I never let go of the dream. I held on to it. Was it discouraging? Absolutely. Was people negative? That's not going to happen. The guy actually told me, forget it. Go stay in the Philippines. Nobody knows you there. No one's going to buy your book. Stay with the dream. You're destined. God's got something. If God put that in your heart years ago, hold on to it. Be fierce with it. Pour in your passion into it. Just make sure it was Him. And make sure you're walking in righteousness. And make sure you're living in the way of love. And make sure you're giving it your best and you're doing what's right. But after that, latch on to that dream. Trust God that you're destined. After that, do not be afraid and take action. You see, this is what your 2015 can look like. Review the dream. Get back to that place. Don't stop. Realize that there is a destiny for you. Step out there and don't be afraid. And finally, just take action. Some of you, it's one of these things. Some of you, you've let go of the dream. Some of you, you've lost the idea that you're a child of a king. You're no longer destined. I've lost my ascendancy. I've lost this. It didn't happen for me. You know, it's so negative. I tried it once before. I failed. Don't let go. There is a destiny for you. There's a destiny for this nation. Don't be afraid. Every time you feel fear, here's the antidote to fear. Get your Bible. Put it in your phone. Read that word. Confess that word. Every time I do that, folks, I have fears, just like you. But every time I have a fear, I grab that word. I read that word. I pray that word. I confess that word. Every time I hear bad news, I take that word. Every time I hear a storm coming to the country and I'm out of the country, I take that word. Lord, you said this. Lord, you're going to make a way where there is no way. And then finally, take action. Do something. Don't stop. I don't care how old you are. Hello? I was just telling this to my father a few days ago. I said, Pop, can't wait till I'm 62. And it's getting closer. And he said, why? He said, the reason is because you may never remember this, but I was sitting in a board meeting with you and your brother. And I was saying something about a dream I had. And your brother said, wait till you're 62. And tell me if you still have a dream. And you know what? I'm coming on strong, baby. I'm coming on strong. And I know I will be 72 and I will still have a dream. And I will still have a destiny. And I will still not be afraid. And I will still take action. Because that's the way of the Lord. And that's my prayer for you this year. Stop fretting. Stop looking back and saying, oh, this did not happen. It's the same effort to do that than it is to just believe God. Same effort, folks. You're better off believing Him. Now, as I try and close this, Joseph, son of David, take Mary, which is conceived in her by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the reason why this is not going to happen is not because you're dreaming or you're holding fast or you're doing this. The reason why this is happening is because the Holy Spirit lives and He empowers you. I had a very interesting meeting with a very young lady who actually helps me with some of my editing work. And I was trying to convince her to work for me full-time because I just like her work ethic. And I was trying to convince her, I was trying to basically talk her into working for me. And she had an interesting response to me. She said this, and this is a young girl. This is about a 23, 24-year-old young lady who looks at me, a pastor of stature, and she looks at me and says, "Pastor, you know what? I want to accept what you're offering, but I feel like the Holy Spirit, the Lord's telling me to stay in my job because God has something in store for me here." And the minute she said that, something inside of me, just almost like Elizabeth and Mary, there was something inside me that just registered and resonated. And I looked at her and says, "I trust the Holy Spirit in you. I trust that the Holy Spirit lives. He will empower you. And I'm so glad you're like that. I'm so glad that you have the confidence to stand up to anybody, to say what's in your heart, to know this God who wants to direct you, who knows you better than I would. That's my prayer for you this year. Yes, keep the dream. Yes, know you have a destiny. Yes, don't be afraid. Yes, take action. But folks, that thing happened because it was conceived in her by the power of God, His very Holy Spirit. Don't leave home without Him." That's not American Express. That's the Holy Spirit. Are you here? Walk with Him this year. This is the year that He wants you to have all that He has in store for you. Now, all this took place to fulfill. Everybody say fulfill. In other words, all this, and this is the amazing thing about God, all this took place to fulfill. That's the beautiful thing about the ways of God. They're fulfilling. Let me cite you three thoughts about being fulfilled. The first one, when you say fulfill, is to actualize. When you say something has been fulfilled, it actually happened. It's right in front of you. That's my prayer for you, that the dreams that God has for you will be fulfilled. I have dreams for my children. I have dreams for my grandchildren. Now I've got dreams for my daughters-in-law. I've got amazing dreams for them. And I know that one day I'm going to stand and look at them and they will be actualized. They will actually be standing in front of me. That's what fulfillment is. When we do it God's way, they will be like that building. We're standing here. We're all surreally looking at that thing and saying, "Huh, it's actually here." That's what it means when God says, "I'm going to fulfill it. I'm going to actualize it. I'm going to make it happen to you." Secondly, it's not just to actualize, it's something that's real. What that means is there's a realization, a certain level of success. You don't just stay here, you actually go to the next level. You're realizing, you're attaining, you're succeeding. Finally, probably the best part of a fulfillment is when you're satisfied. And I say this to you with all humility, and to Him be all the glory. This is probably one of the best years of my life. And I found that it seemingly is, every year is becoming like that. That the more we walk in step with God's way, "God, I choose to do the righteous thing. I choose to do it in love despite the fact that I'm already angry, despite that I've been dealt the wrong thing, despite the fact that that was taken away from me. Despite the injustice, I choose the way of love, and I'll choose to do the right thing regardless of the situation I find myself in. And because I do that, God, I know You will restore and fulfill my dreams, that You will cause destiny to happen in my life, that I will not be afraid, and one day I will be able to take action and see life fulfilled." Why? Because the greatest event in history took place this way. And because of that event, I can safely say, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, because God is with me." the more I walk in His ways, the more He's going to be with me. And as I walk in His ways, I will see 2015 fulfilled and blessed by my God. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Just close your eyes for a little bit. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, we just thank you for this day. God, I thank you for every person in this room. God, as we end 2014 and step into 2015, we are excited, God. Father, we're stirred of heart because of your word. The greatest event in history, the greatest thing that you want to do, God, is not necessarily the most ideal and the easiest. And yet, God, we see in your word that it'll come to pass. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that will choose the way of righteousness this year. But Father, they will choose. There's some of you, you just need to come before God today and renounce unrighteousness. You just have to say, God, I renounce unrighteousness. Lord, that's not the best option. Can you look up here for a minute? Somebody asked me, Pastor, how do you make decisions? I said, I have grids. One of my grids is a spiritual grid. It goes like this. Righteousness, peace, and joy in agreement. If what you're offering me or asking me to do is not righteous, we're not going there. Period. And folks, you will always get it right when you make that decision. Secondly, if I don't feel the peace of God, I'm not doing it. If I don't see that generating the joy of God, I'm not doing it. And lastly, if all those three happen, if my wife does not agree with that, we're not doing it. That's how to get a good marriage, folks. Get your wife or get somebody like Pastor Steve. Get a mature believer to agree. And my prayer for you this year is that you have such a righteousness consciousness that when you see something unrighteous, your first instinct is, no, we're not doing that. And you don't have to be ornery. You don't have to be mad. You can be loving and say, I love you, but nah, we're not doing that. Amen? Just close your eyes. Lord, I pray for a consciousness of righteousness. The first step in walking your ways. And Father, I pray that we will walk the way of love and we will always choose to do the right thing. Even though it's hard, even though it may look foolish or silly, even though people may actually laugh at us. There's no telling how many people were whispering around Joseph and Mary, God. And yet that was your way. And Father, I pray even today for the dreams, the desires, the aspirations, destinies to be fulfilled. I break the spirit of fear from my brothers and sisters. I command you in the name of Jesus to leave them even right now. And Father, I pray that even as we pray this prayer, as we celebrate this past year and enter into the next year, we will be so full of faith to take action fearlessly. If you're in sync with that, if you're in agreement with that, would you just lift up both your hands towards heaven? Jesus, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us in this season. Empower all of us, Lord, to walk in your ways, to trust you, God, to believe that the best is yet to come, that we go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen.